Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 554. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me, albeit from opposite sides of the country. I am in Philadelphia, PA right now for CFFC 148. Meanwhile, Cole Coffee is back home in beautiful Las Vegas. He'll be covering the UFC this weekend, and we'll talk about the UFC coverage that he has already put in this weekend, which he did pretty much all by himself. But we'll get into that a little bit first. Can I just say, and you know me, I'm a humble guy, Cole Coffee. I don't like to brag too much or be that guy, but I will say, I do believe I'm having one of the most interesting weeks a person on earth, or at least in the line of business that we are or whatever, can have. I have gone from lingerie fighting championships to the United States National Beauty Pageant to now, of course, CFFC. And you have been along for some of the ride. We'll get into all of it. But how are you doing? But before I start,
That's a nice humble brag right there. That's not too bad.
Well, I was going to say, before I start patting myself.
Half-naked ladies at the beginning in the lingerie fighting. Then you got well-dressed ladies. And then you're going to have half-naked dudes fighting here at the end of the week. So you got it all going on,
brother. It's not the way I would necessarily lay it out there. But I appreciate you, sir. Well, all right. So let's just look. You and I don't talk a lot about lingerie fighting championships, right? And there's, you know, there's different reasons for that. For a long time, of course, I was employed by MMA Junkie and Gannett and USA Today, and I wasn't sure if they necessarily would love the fact that that was something that we did on the side or whatever, so I didn't really talk about it that much. Then, I'll be honest with you, there was a big part of me that was always like, man, I hope there's people in the industry that don't think that, like, come on, man, what are you doing? That's not. But I feel like now, the worlds of entertainment, pro wrestling, just all this kind of extraneous, wild stuff in combat sports. I think it's all kind of come together and it's more acceptable. And so now, I'm just going to embrace it a little bit more. We had a good time, man. I mean, it was Friday night, Lingerie Fighting Championships in Las Vegas. You and I were on the call, as we are always on the call. We are, every now and then.
We are the U.S.-based team.
We are.
There's a U.K. team that's trying to weasel in there a little bit.
No.
But we are the U.S.-based
team. U.S.-based team.
And the number one.
And Cole Coffee, I will imagine that you were probably like me, and that every now and then somebody will reach out to you and be like, dude, this sounds just like you. And I'm like, that's because it's me. You know what I mean?
It is you.
That's because and it's always funny because I realize, like, well, you can't talk trash about me because you were watching it and you obviously enjoy it. So, but anyway, it was fun.
Yep.
This was actually a pretty fun night because you and I were set to do this, and it was originally supposed to be at like a local club in Las Vegas, but because of some I think some licensing issues or some permit issues or something like that, last second it got changed to a different venue, like on a week's notice. So, by the way, credit to everybody at Lingerie Fighting Championships for moving a venue in the course of like 5 days, which is not easy. But it ended up at the Fight Capital Gym, which for many people that are maybe old school MMA fans, used to be the old school JSEC gym. So, I mean, that was like the birthplace of mixed martial arts in Las Vegas, in Nevada. They were the first MMA gym there. That's literally where the Fertittas and Dana White and all that used to train under John Lewis. And we were there in that gym. And, of course, you know, there was just a little bit of MMA, a little bit of wrestling, a little bit of clothing, as they do at Lingerie Fighting Championships. But it was cool to be in such a, like, classic, old school, you know, historic kind of venue.
Yeah, I'd been driving past that place since I lived not far from there for years and didn't even realize that that's where that gym was. So to be able to go in there and see it was actually really, really cool. And it definitely had that old school, like, boxing gym, you know, fight gym feel. I didn't go upstairs to see what was upstairs, but just seeing the layout downstairs was pretty cool. But yeah, credit to them for pulling it together. Normally we do it down at the FSW where we were talking about the professional wrestling, which the FSW arena, where they do a bunch of like pro wrestling stuff out of there, is actually really cool.
I like that venue too.
And so I was kind of sad that we didn't get to go there and do it at that venue because we've done it so many times at that venue. But it was neat to actually get into the Fight Capital gym, and there were new ladies wrestling and fighting that evening, and I thought it was just incredible. It was fun with just all the different outfits since it was Halloween, but the action was fun. But yeah, man, I had a great time.
I had a really good time.
I mean, it's just unique stuff. I mean, like, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day. You know, there opportunities sometimes pop up to relocate to other areas, you know, but, you know, I've always said that it'd be really tough to kind of make me want to leave Las Vegas besides of just the weather, which I love, but just the opportunities and some of these things. And one of the things is just these weird little sort of instances we built for ourselves out here. And one of them is Lingerie Fighting Championship. I absolutely adore the organization. It's fun. The women are fun. You know, it's such a good time calling the show with you. And it's just a lot of fun. So I'm definitely grateful. And so, yeah, it was a nice way of spending Halloween. I was a little bummed I didn't get to put out candy, you know, because I do actually enjoy giving out candy. I think it's one of those traditions that it's just kind of, I want that to exist for young kids these days because it was a big thing of us growing up. So I tried to do it. So when I wasn't able to do it, I was like, oh, that kind of sucks. But boy, I wouldn't trade it for if I had to be doing something else. I think watching some scantily clad women throwing punches and scissor kicks and all kinds of other stuff. And bro, the level of competition has gotten big. Exponentially. They are really doing some work.
I was going to say.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
I mean, we have literally been doing this thing. So I started a little bit before you.
Yeah, you started almost years before me.
Yeah,
I think.
And so I saw it literally from the inception. And again, because I was in Las Vegas, you talk about these weird things that happen and these little opportunities or whatever. And so I got to see it from the beginning. And where they have grown, it is pretty incredible, the level of athletes that they have now doing it. And, I mean, you know, not for us because we're just humble little employees over there, it sounds like big things are happening. It sounds like there's a lot of cool things happening. So, man,
fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. You might see some big things about that. So that was fun. That was fun. So that was my Friday night. And then I guess it builds on the theme of exactly what you said of these odd little opportunities that pop up sometimes that you never expected in your life. And that was I got a chance to MC the United States National Beauty Pageant, which was in Las Vegas as well. It was the first year in a couple years that they had been at Las Vegas. And I got to be honest with you, bro. I might have been more nervous for that than anything I ever do. Because, like, anything martial arts related or combat sports related, like, I feel like, hey, man, throw me a curveball. Tell me what you need me to do. How much you need me to talk. Yep. What do you want me to talk about? What are we doing next? I'm like, whatever. Here, this is a world that I literally know nothing about. But what happened was Jason Lederfine, who I work with at CFFC, he's our COO, and sometimes you will see him as an MC as well. He does a lot of stuff behind the scenes, but every now and then you'll see him do some cage announcing as well, depending on our venue and availabilities and that sort of thing. So if you know the name Jason Lederfine from watching CFFC, that's why you might know him, but he does a ton of stuff behind the scenes. But last year, they were in Memphis, and he had been with them in Memphis. This year, they were moving to Las Vegas, and he was unavailable because he had something going on. They were going to fly him out, but he had another commitment already, and he said, well, you're in luck. I can't go, but I got a guy. He's my colleague. I work with him. He lives in Las Vegas. He can fill in for me, and I know him. He'll do a fine job. And so they reached out to me. You know, obviously, he gave me a heads up or whatever, and then they reached out to me, and they said, what do you think? And I'm like, oh, yeah. I was like, let's give it a shot. But, bro, I'm not going to lie. Nervous as hell. It was one day of rehearsals, which I was even nervous for the rehearsals. And then 2 days of actually commentating or emceeing, not commentating. There you go. It's not even my world. I don't emcee anything. I'm a commentator. It had me nervous because bottom line is, I feel like with combat sports, I can just kind of riff and make stuff up. And I mean, not make stuff up, but you know what I mean? I could just flow. And there I was like, if I get this wrong, I won't even know. And they're going to be like laughing at me. I don't know, but it was fun. Yep. It was a hell of a lot of fun though. Hell of a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. What a unique opportunity, you know. And now that you've done that, now you're probably just getting groomed for Miss America and the Miss Universe, you know.
Bring it on.
Next steps.
Bring it on. I'll tell you what's funny, though. I went there for rehearsals. I went there for rehearsals on Sunday, and I was walking around with the team and just kind of getting the lay of the land, et cetera, et cetera. The first person I ran into, the first contestant that I ran into, this was amazing. Small world. Her name is Kayla Duncan. She was competing. She was Miss California, United States. But she's also a ring card girl for LFA. She works with She works with the CAMO, which is the amateur organization out in California. She does some content creation in the world of mixed martial arts. So literally, the first person I ran into, she was like, John Morgan? What are you doing here? And I'm like, I'm working. She's like, this is such a pleasure to meet you. And I'm like, is this like a plant? Like, how does this contestant know who I am? But sure, super nice. Like I said, Kayla Duncan, follow her on Instagram. Super, super incredible girl. She was very nice. She one of the things they do at the pageant is, you know, obviously you do the swimsuit, you do the evening gown, but then you talk about like your platform and like what kind of community project that you're doing. And her community project was combat sports related. It was basically like getting women to come train in martial arts for obviously the self-defense aspect of it, the, you know, the confidence aspect of it, all that. But her platform was combat sports related as well. And so, I don't know, it was cool. I was like, what a small world. What a small world this is. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, how cool is that?
It was fun, man. It was fun. So that was unique. So from Lingerie Fighting Championships on Friday to the United States National Beauty Pageant Sunday through Tuesday, finished on Tuesday, went home, finished packing, talked to my family for a few minutes, and then went straight to the airport, took the red eye out here to Philadelphia for CFFC 148, got a chance to go to Marquez MMA for the first time. So, you know, we talk about it, like obviously back in the day when I was just doing commentary for CFFC, I'd kind of fly in like last second, and because, you know, you're trying to save on hotel rooms, you know, you don't really have a job function to do until, so I would kind of fly in on weigh-in day, go to the weigh-ins, do the fights, fly in. But now that I'm on the administrative side, you know, I come in and, you know, kind of help the whole team and everything. But all the trips that we've done out here to Philadelphia, I've never been to Marquez MMA, and I finally got to do that this week. And man, cool spot. You know, I know it's a gym that a lot of people talk about, and we've got a lot of their fighters on our card this week, but got a chance to go see it. It is super cool. John Marquez, I feel like, is getting a lot of respect, and deservedly so. Kind of getting his name in the spotlight a little bit, which is cool to see. You know, not quite up on the, you know, gym of the year type category just yet, but still, like, you know, I think a lot of people are starting to talk about it. But bro, it is cool. It's proper old school Philly gym. Like you got two choices. So how would you describe the neighborhood? Like, A tad unsavory, perhaps you would say. It's not the greatest neighborhood of all. And then when you get to the building, you have two choices. You have either A, it's either a four floor walk up, or you jump in a freight elevator, and it's like one of those elevators where like you gotta like pull the doors down, and you know there's not like buttons where you hit what floor. There's just like a switch on the side where you just like hit up and you go up until you get the door, and then you pull. So it's a cool gym, raw. You know, it's not the you know, you and I have been so fortunate. You know, we've been to, you know, the American top teams. We've been down to
to Sanford, or you know, all the different iterations of that. Killcliff now, of course, it's called. You know, we've obviously, even in town, and we've seen the different versions of Syndicate. We've seen Extreme Couture's yep. been pretty much a constant, but they've expanded. You know, we've been out to, I mean, we've been to all the gyms, but this is one that I hadn't been to, and it's like old school, kind of dingy, kind of but I like that. You know, it's like it feels just like a proper old school fight gym, you know. It was fun, and I will tell you this: the first, you know, obviously, you know, you're working out, you got some music on in the background. The first song, this is no bullshit, the first song that was playing when we walked in was the Rocky theme in Philadelphia, and I'm like, is this coincidence, or do they just have this on loop, like nonstop? Like, you're in Philly, you just gotta have that, you know, all that. So anyway, it was a good time. So it's been a fun week, by the way.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was super cool.
And the people, I just looked it up on their thing, and if people are interested, it's located at 4500 Worth Street.
Yes, it is.
Philadelphia, PA, 19124. Yeah, I just pulled them up. Yeah, I was trying to look at the neighborhood, but I'm looking at the satellite thing, the satellite picture, and yeah, it looks like where you would see Rocky's gym.
Oh.
If he was in the middle of Philly next to the used auto car dealer, you know, and you know, that's pretty, it's pretty cool.
It's cool, man. And like I said, John Marquez is a great dude. It was just, so when we walked in, it was just a regular practice. Like, it wasn't pro practice, because they do pro practice during the day. But it was just kind of a regular practice. There's like, there had to be, I don't know, 80 people on the mat, maybe more. Like, I mean, huge class. But some pros.
Did you walk in, they were just like, holy cow, is that John Morgan?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. They were actually, probably John Marquez wouldn't let them look if they were. Obviously, they don't care who I am, but even if they were, John Marquez is like a drill sergeant out there, bro. He's not letting you chill. He's like, you're working. But it was cool. So it wasn't pro practice, but there were a couple pros, including some of the guys that are going to be on our car that were getting some work in. And Sean Brady was there, actually. So I got to see some of Sean Brady's last workouts ahead of his big fight next week. And, bro, Sean Brady, I mean, he was looking good. He was looking really, really good. So keep an eye out for that. Yeah, he looked really, really good. But I did want to say this, if because I've seen this before. I'd seen it before I'd been there. But John Gooden did a really good piece on Fight Pass on the gym. It's called Sean Brady and Marquez MMA Up Close with John Gooden. It's on Fight Pass. But I was Googling it last night because I wanted to see if there's a way. If for some reason you don't have Fight Pass, which, come on, what are you doing? You need that Fight Pass. But if for some reason you don't, they have posted it on YouTube as well. So if you don't have it, you can watch it. But so check it out. If you want to see the gym and the people and all, and it's cool because like John Gooden has like Paul Felder kind of driving him around and narrating the whole thing and all that. It's a really good piece. So I just recommend it to anybody. Sean Brady and Marquez MMA Up Close with John Gooden. So anyway.
That's cool. So would you say it was a good one?
Oh, I see what you did there. It was a good. I like that. Was he? Surely somebody has given him that suggestion before.
I don't know, but I do remember him talking about how he was when I saw him last time. I was asking him, you know, if he was staying busy, and he was mentioning some of the stuff that he was doing for UFC Fight Pass and stuff. So that's cool. That's cool to see that coming to fruition. He's such a good dude.
He
takes it very, very seriously. He's definitely a big fan of the sport and does his work. So I'm sure it's a really, really good product.
Now,
I'll have to definitely check it out.
So I did talk to John, by the way. I wanted to find out how old that piece was, like when it was done. He said it was just the summer. So it's not that bad. It's just over the summer. But I was wondering, you know, if it's 5 or 6 months ago, would you call that an olden but a gooden? Oh boy.
I like it.
It's late here.
It's
late here on the East Coast. It's late here on the East Coast. The humor's getting bad here at this time. So anyway, that's been my week. I want to talk about your week in a moment, but before we do, I guess really the biggest news coming out of this it is the biggest news is this UFC MMA betting scandal. And You know, obviously you and I haven't had a chance to talk because, I mean, really, honestly, I haven't had a chance to talk to you since Friday night. I've been so slammed. We were both at the event on Saturday. I'll be honest with you. When I got done seeing the fight with Dolgarian and Dovaye, I was just like, man, Dovaye looks like – and honestly, even if this was what everybody says it was, I still don't know that I'm taking away from Dovaye and saying that not that he's a – that dude looks like the real deal to me moving forward, right? But obviously, everybody's talking about Dolgarian and this thing. And I don't know. I've been talking to some people, and obviously this is a story that kind of extends back to James Krause and that betting scandal that never really got fully resolved. But I'm curious what your take is, because I'll be honest, for me, from my point of view, I will say I think this is a terrible thing. It's a terrible, terrible, bad, bad thing. It's not good for the sport at all. But I also do believe a lot of people are making a lot more out of this than I think it actually is, at least in terms of how widespread it is. In terms of the impact, in terms of how bad this is, I don't think they are. I think this you can't make up, or you can't over emphasize how bad this is. Should it be true? Now, again, innocent until proven guilty, we'll give them the thing. But
yep.
If all this is true, it's bad. But I'm seeing a lot of information out there that seems to be like talking about just how rampant and widespread this is, and how, you know, this is just, it has its fingers in all edge of the sport and all that. And I'll be honest with you, I don't feel that way. And I do want to say this, and I think over the years, especially anybody that listens to this knows, I'm not a conspiracy theory guy. I'm not a big extended theory guy. I'm usually like, whatever the simplest answer is, it's usually that's it, right? But I will say, when I went back and watched the fight, now, again, I saw it live, obviously. Now, I didn't see it live on TV. I was sitting K-side. I wasn't hearing the commentary. I wasn't seeing all the different angles. I didn't think it was that bad in real time, right? I didn't see it. I will say, when I go back and watch it, the thing that is concerning to me is not, because a lot of people point out, well, he's punching backwards in a rear naked choke. That's dumb. Now, granted, I've commentated from the lowest level of amateurs to, I mean, I've commentated every level of sport, and I've seen a lot of people do that at every level of sport. So that is not like he's the only guy that's ever done. But I will say this, and again, innocent until proven guilty, et cetera, et cetera. But the thing that stood out to me the most is that there were times where he would battle the hands and he would create space for himself. The choke would be broken, and he wouldn't turn in at all. The hips wouldn't turn. The shoulders wouldn't turn. It's like he did battle the hands a little bit, and then he just stayed there. So I don't think his case looks good, but again, there's still a lot to unfold. But I don't know. I said a lot there, but I want to get your thoughts on it, because if what everybody's saying is true, it is terrible for the sport. But I just feel like I'm seeing all these reports that are acting like this is widespread and rampant, and I just don't believe it is.
Yeah, I mean, could there be more instances of where things have happened? 100%. You know, do I feel like you have to look at a card and think that multiple fights on the card are going to be rigged? No, I don't think that's an issue. I think even we heard it from the fighters this week, I think most fighters, you know, have a certain level of pride that they don't want to go that route. You know, there's still a sense of martial arts, but as another fighter pointed out, you know, if a fighter has a family to provide for, bills to pay for, and they haven't been great. They haven't learned how to do the financial things that the UFC used to put classes on to help train these fighters, and they're not good at it, you know, and somebody's down on their luck, and they look at ways that they could try to make some what they think is quick money with nobody to be able to catch them. I can see where there is the potential. But do I think it's widespread? No. But could I be completely wrong? 100%. You know, I mean, I think we've talked about refereeing and judging, especially in the terms where a lot of these judges and refs have worked in the boxing avenue. And, you know, boxing has never had a clear history in that aspect as well. So I think there's always been room where people said, oh, man, investigate that judge, that ref, this crazy. I guess we just trusted the sanctity of these martial artists that we weren't going to see any of these sort of things. Like, it was just, you know, people would either look at the sport and say, oh, it's like professional wrestling. We dealt with that initially, and it was like, no, it's not professional wrestling, guys. Stop. This is not fake. This is not fake. But then to bring up the whole aspect of, you know, actually fighting a particular way to make an outcome happen, then it was like, wow, I guess maybe I'm naive and never thought that that would happen, because I trusted the fact that most martial artists have a sense of pride, or there was just something about their dedication to get themselves to this point that they would never ever do something like that, because it would just shit on everything that they've worked through most of their life to get to this point. You know, so shame on me if I you know, was putting them on too high of a pedestal. But I do believe that most fighters are that way, that they wouldn't want to affect their gym, their families, their reputation. And, you know, this fighting career, it's so temporary that, you know, your legacy is going to last a lot longer. And if you do something like this, your legacy is screwed
Gone.
For the rest of your life,
Gone.
You know? So I would think most people wouldn't. But in the terms of this particular case, you know, where all these allegations of Dolgarian, you know, and I guess what threw me off was that I went into the fight expecting him to lose anyways. You know, and then what, you know, I didn't pick him to win. I thought Dvai was going to do exactly what he did. You know, what got people fired up was that the fact that the line changed and, you know, Dolgarian was such a favorite and then it dropped down to where he wasn't as big a favor. I thought the line was freaking crazy to begin with. I don't know why Dolgarian was that big. If anything else, the, I was joking the other day to somebody. I was like, well, the... our staff picks came out, and finally people saw where I picked, and then the line immediately swung the other area, you know? People aren't willing.
The soon-to-be four-time champ, bro. The soon-to-be four-time champ.
I don't know. This one's going to be tough. But, you know, you think about it. I know we've talked about it. We bragged it, and I'm getting off on a tangent now. The last few years or whatever, bro, we're at like 60, 65%. Most gamblers consider if you're near 50%,
right,
you're doing pretty darn good. So I was joking. I was like, well, you know, they saw the dog, you know, put his pick, and they were like,
let's go.
These odds guys got it really wrong. But in terms of this one, you know, I see where people, you know, the whole fact of how it was a first round, to lose in a first round for a favorite, to lose in a first round is a huge prop bet.
Right.
Potential, you know, and I guess that's where people were freaking out, and I get that. You know, I thought it was always going to go that way regardless, but in terms of first round, I wouldn't have been saying, hey, I think it's gonna end in the first round, but I did think he was gonna lose the fight.
I did too.
So I get it, you know. But you know, as for how people were talking about how it was handled, you know, like people were like, why did they let the fight going on? You know, I'm sure people say a lot of times about how they get, you know, the FBI gets things about, oh, there's bomb threats or other stuff. You know, in some instances, some things will shut down and they, you know, and usually it doesn't happen. But if somebody says, oh, hey, we got a tip, somebody might try to rob your store, you know, and it's going to be, watch this potential dude. But if they don't do the crime, what can you you can't convict them on
exactly.
anything. So at some point you got to let we got heads up that something might happen. You know, they asked the fighter, hey, is this true? And the fighter said no. Then all they can do is let it go on and let the guy bury himself if that's the case.
Agreed.
You know, that way they actually have a case that can actually, if they can figure it out and it is true, they can actually convict the dude and they can do what they need to do. You know, so I get it where people are like, I can't believe you let it go on, but they couldn't have arrested him if he didn't do what you think he was going to do.
Exactly.
You know, like, and then that it would have done no better, would have sent no shockwaves through. If anything else, by allowing it to happen and let people do whatever, you know, now people are talking about it. But at this point, it's still allegations. You know, you got the gym coming out saying, like, we didn't do shit. You got the fighter saying, we didn't do it. You know, he was trying to fight it. And as for, like, you know, Chiesa's, you know, like, oh, you don't do those punches, that's whatever. People fuck up and do stupid shit like that all the time.
Yep.
You know, it just got blown out of proportion because now people are trying to pick at areas at how he didn't defend well. I think Dolgarian's a good fighter. I don't think he's a great fighter. People made it seem like he was the next champion and everything he did, he made this mistake and this mistake. I'm like, guys, like, it's not like he's like a seasoned vet, you know, that's got like a bazillion fights and he's just running through everybody. I think there's going to be mistakes that happen. But as for Chiesa saying like, yes, you know, those punches don't do anything. That's true. But I mean, he made it. He was just pointing out how he made a mistake, but then it just kind of, you know, pointed that it was just dumb. But we see it happen all the other time. Do people question every time that somebody now punches out of that choke? They're going to assume that he's fixing the fight or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
I
that's
agree.
Just silly.
I
Stop
agree.
Pointing at that. That's just silly. But could he have, you know, the fact that if you're really just wanting to fix it and whatever, why put yourself through where you're even trying to defend the choke?
Why would you
take that first choke and just go out?
I see.
And just go.
I agree.
He fought it multiple times. And some of those, we've seen people, even one of the fights at night, I think Elise
Ardelion,
was it hers or another one? Maybe, or maybe, the Brazilian at the beginning. It was pretty much a one arm choke.
Oh,
but then she eventually was able to get the gable grip. Yeah, she eventually got her.
I know what you're talking about. Yep.
But she was a one-arm choke, and then she got the gable grip at the very end, and then was able to secure it. But it wasn't like she had both, that she needed both arms. So, say you're taking one hand off of that, he still had a strong arm underneath the neck that's cutting oxygen off. He's making bad decisions. So it wasn't like, oh, he cleared the second hand and it was like, okay, cool. It made that pressure less, but it was still pressure, you know? Like, Devine's a big dude, man. He's a big, strong dude. I think that kid has all the capability to be a potential future champ in the future.
I agree.
You know? So, like, I guarantee his one-arm choke was very, very fierce. So I hate the fact that people are nitpicking everything, without giving him any credit, that it was just Dolgarian throwing the fight. Like, that's just disgraceful, you know? Like, could he have been doing some shady shit? 100%. Sure, he could have. But to completely say that everything was just a bad mistake that he was doing and that, you know, Devine wasn't putting it to him, because he easily could have just went on the first choke, the first attempt, and just, I'm not trying, because people started looking at other fights in the card, because people are doing, you know, just weird ways of whatever, but everybody's really focused on this one because of the stupid line movement. But I initially went in thinking, and if we would have talked about it and would have looked at the odds beforehand, I would have said on that episode before that the absolute odds were just shit crazy.
I agree.
They should have never been that high for Dolgarian. If anything else, that was a correction. You know, it was a market correction to the fact that they messed up. They sent the odds way too crazy high, you know. Yep. So, but do we see bookies getting criticized for, hey, you know, like, why did you set it that high in the first place? You know, why did you allow this? Unless maybe they got something going on, you know, but nobody's looking at them. They want to look at the fighter and look at other stuff and say, oh, there's no way the line move. That being said, doesn't mean that the kid couldn't have done something. But at this point, it's all allegations. It's all whatever. I just got a little fired up at the fact that people are nitpicking stuff that happens every week, and it can happen multiple times in a fight. Nobody ever pulls perfect fights often when we're watching this game. We're going to watch, 11 fights tomorrow, Saturday, 10 or 11, 12 fights. I forget how many on this card. You think those are all going to be perfect and somebody doesn't do a stupid shit when they're in a fist fight? Stupid shit's going to happen. And all people are going to say, oh, yeah, that's not how you defend it. Now he's obviously fixing the fight. It's just a slippery slope that they just opened up, and it's just silly.
That's what I don't like. So, by the way, just for the record, the fight that you were referring to was Talita Allen Carr versus Ariane Carnelosi. That was the women's fight that you were talking about.
Yes, I was going to say, I thought it was Allen Carr. Name kept popping in my head, but I was like, my point because I didn't want to track. But
no, for the record.
It's just crazy, dude.
Well, that's exactly the point that is frustrating me, is that like now everybody's looking at every single fight. Well, first of all, there's two things that frustrate me. Number one, there is a shitload of misinformation going on out there, which is ridiculous, about like how widespread this is and how many people are involved and where the FBI's involvement was and all this. Like, it's just not true. And I can tell you this, in being in the mixed martial arts space for a very, very, very long time, this is a very small community. Secrets and, you know, high level conspiracy type stuff doesn't happen because everybody talks, man. Everybody knows everybody, and everybody talks. Now, do I believe that something could have happened here? I do believe something could have happened here. Do I think it's necessarily 100% true? No, I'm anxious to see how this investigation plays out and how we hear everything unfolded. But yeah, exactly what you said is, now it's like, oh, yeah. And this referee is in on it, by the way. And oh, by the way, every single bout, there's been 100 bouts this year that have been impacted by this. It's like, bro, it's not that. It's just not. It's not. And so
until I see the FBI come out with that number, I'm not going to believe any particular number until somebody in some point of authority that's actually part of an investigative branch says something. I mean, what are we doing? We're just going off the words of some manager, hears something from somebody else who thinks something's going on or whatever, and then people take it as whatever. But nobody's throwing any names. People are saying stuff's on the record. I'm like, well, throw some names. Let's see how credible these sources are. Yep. You know, let's figure something out, you know. So, you know, the FBI should come out and say what's going on. I mean, it's just crazy. We haven't heard anything from the Krause thing, but I mean, this administration, I mean, we don't talk politics, but we all know how fucking ridiculous this administration and their team is. So, you know, people used to shit on how bad the FBI was. Well, you know, I guess it hasn't changed much, because if you're doing a major investigation, at least give us some sort of something, or at least tell us that there's an investigation going on. Stop letting all the stuff come from either the UFC president or, you know, people that are just hearing things through whoever
yep.
these sources are that they say are credible, but they won't say who those sources are.
Well,
you know,
it's that's the thing I guess I want to stress the most is that, first of all, the UFC would absolutely not be complicit in any of this because, I mean, you know, you worked for the UFC at the time that they were still Fertitta owned, where, like, you know, you couldn't even bet on fights. You know, I mean, there's just so many things. There's so many limits. There's so many things. Like, the UFC would absolutely not be complicit in this whatsoever because they understand the importance of, you know, the sport has to be on the up and up for people to take it seriously. As you said, I come from the day when people were still asking, are these real fights? You know what I mean? Isn't this professional wrestling? Yeah. Like, no, it's not. These are actually real. So trust me, like, they're not going to stand by it. But this, like, I guess that's the biggest thing I want to stress is that I am not dismissing the story as a small story. It is not. It's a big story, and it's a story that needs to be followed, and it's a story that has massive implications and ramifications, and it's a story that matters a lot. But what's frustrating me is how people are just using this and extrapolating it and saying, and every fight's fixed, and there was 10 fights on this card that were fixed, and that card, it's not. It's yep. just simply not the yep. truth. So,
just because, I mean, you hear from the fighters, you know, now you got them up there, like, everybody now is criticizing us and criticizing our fights, you know, and you're getting a lot of, you know, and this is the part that sucks because when these fighters go and do this sort of shit, they're not just affecting themselves and they're affecting their one fight outcome. They're literally hurting the reputation and they're hurting the livelihood of all their peers that are in this with them, you know, and I feel bad for those guys because through no fault of their own, they're getting, you know, looks, they're getting side eyes, they're getting, you know, all these questionable things. People are putting these, you know, thoughts on their fights, and it's through nothing of their own doing, and it's kind of just ridiculous. But something I told you to remind me to bring me up that, you know, I guess since we're talking
about,
you know,
this is funny. This is a wild little detail.
You know, because you are right. When we were part of the UFC, when I was part of the UFC, it was clearly you were like, you do not bet on fights. You do not do whatever. You weren't even supposed to bet on anything. They just didn't want you gambling, you know, because right. there was just the whole – this was before even the NFL team got out there, you know, and they were all worried about, you know, the gambling in Vegas. We can't possibly put a team here. But it was also, you know, it was just always like, okay, you can't gamble. You can't gamble, blah, blah, blah. So didn't think about it. But there have been many, many nights that when I've tried to look to see if there was any live movements or just a reminder to see – who was the favorite going into a fight, because I'm not one of the guys, I don't memorize that shit right. beforehand. I just look at the fighter and I remember what I feel from that fighter and I have my own internal thoughts and I use that stuff for when I do my picks. I don't really reference a lot of times the odds things, but I have on occasion done, like, I just do MMA odds, and one of the sites that pulls up all the time is like this best MMA odds or whatever.
Right, best fight
odds. They got great SEO placement. It's like yep. it's one of the first things that always pops up. But the interesting thing is that Wednesday when I was there for media day, I tried to access that website from within the UFC network, and I got a page that popped up from a Cisco router thing saying this site has been blocked. And the keyword on the page was saying that it was looking for it. It said gambling. There was now a filter on their network that you cannot even access a gambling website from within the UFC network.
So interesting.
So this tells me, you know, I guarantee Dana reached out and probably said, even though he's like, we've told all the fighters, Dana's the kind of guy that says, if I go into a press conference and say, you will go to federal fucking prison, in his mind, he thinks he's telling every fighter that. I should have asked the fighters if they've actually, I meant to, and I kind of got sidetracked, or just forgot that I should have asked this. Did that in fact happen? Did Dana actually say something to you guys? I guarantee Dana's like, well, you've seen the press conferences. You've all seen it, whatever.
Well,
that's Dana's way of saying he's told all the fighters.
Well,
but,
let me just say real quick, it's in the contractual language, but I can tell you this right now as somebody that is now on the administrative side of things. If you think a fighter signs a contract by reading every single word of that contract, you are absolutely mistaken. You are absolutely mistaken. Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you think, like, because now, like, I mean, I don't do it all the time. We have matchmakers and stuff, but sometimes it's like, hey, John, you know, these two guys agreed. I'm on the road right now. Can you send this contract out or whatever? Like, yeah. And you send out a contract, and like, it's signed in like 30 seconds or something. Like, okay, yep. So you didn't read any of it. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
I think I just deleted the screenshot, too, because I was going to try to pull it up to give you the exact wording. And I literally just went through a weird thing before we started recording. I was like, look at all these screenshots on my desktop. So I literally just deleted it probably right before we taped. But what that tells me is that I guarantee Dana sat down with his staff and the employees and again, reminded people, if you are involved in any of this shit, you will be terminated. You will do whatever. But I guarantee he told his network and said, or his IT guys, and like, people are going to be looking. Let's do what we need to do to make it to where people can't even get to these sites.
Which now
we don't, you know,
which,
you know.
Which, by the way,
so like, by the way, and I think now Dana will say, oh, it's blocked. You can't even get to the gambling sites from our network. That was not always the case,
right?
But it is certainly the case as of this week.
Well, but it's interesting. Like, so I mean, if you and I are sitting at the Apex and we pull out our phones and type in best fight odds and we're not attached to the network, like, of course we're going to be able to find it because we're not on their network. But it is interesting, right, that somebody said, you know what, we need to make sure that at least if you're tapped into our network, if you're using our Wi-Fi, you're not getting access to any gambling sites. It is interesting. Even if it's just a little footnote or irrelevant or whatever, it is still very interesting.
It is. I'm just glad they have, you know, block Stream East, you know, while we're there, so we can still watch all the football games. You can watch those football games, those college games. I know. Now I'm saying it. Now it's going to get blocked. Wow. Jeez. Great job, Danny. But it is kind of interesting. But I guess that's the thing that they never thought it was probably a problem they never thought that they would have to address because it wasn't an issue, being whatever. Could it have existed before and there was an issue? Of course.
Well,
but now, you know, when somebody gets caught doing some stuff, so now they have to do housekeeping and say, where have we been slacking? You know, can our employees pull up and look at gambling odds? Can they do whatever? Do we need to do more to, you know, make it harder for them to do this sort of stuff? So somebody's taking the step. And I mean, I guess if anything else, you say good job, you know, I mean, for at least trying to be proactive now, to get ahead of something else, you know. I mean, it could be a little too late, but it's not like the fighters are on there browsing the network or the internet during the fight week and stuff.
Well,
but it is. It definitely, certainly seems like a quick reaction to what's going on. That they said, "What do we need to do back here at the HQ?"
It's not a coincidence that it happened this week. That all of a sudden you can no longer now. Here's the big question, though. All right, so you pulled up because you were looking for the odds. It was blocked. But my question is, how did you have time to pull up a website when you're working a media day by yourself, bro?
It didn't help that they built in a hour and a half break that didn't end up being that way. But they had a fighter scheduled for 12, and the next one's 1:30. I remember I saw that after the fact, and I forgot to gripe about that. I was like, but then there was a part I was like, if it wasn't for those little breaks, it would have been a little bit tougher. It didn't end up turning out to be an hour and a half because the guys came early. But yes, to your point,
where are you at,
media in town? Where are you guys at? It was a solo media day.
I did not get to watch it live because I was traveling and I was doing some things here. But I always, when the recordings come in, because obviously I'm still on the media list, and so they'll send the recordings. And, you know, for my own curiosity and also because I know we're going to talk about it, I'll watch the media recordings. If I don't get to watch your live stream, I'll at least watch them back so I can get caught up. And I was watching them today while I was doing some work and, you know, getting caught up on some things. And I'm like, oh, Kenny's doing a good job. Oh, good question. Well, solid there. Nice work. And then I was like, wait a minute. He's the only one asking questions. There's nobody else even there. Cold coffee, solo mission. And I'm just going to say it, Mixed Martial Arts Journalist of the Year. Mixed Martial Arts Journalist of the Year. I'm just saying, Journalist of the Year. I mean, if you're pulling solo duty on a media day, Journalist of the Year, bro.
Right.
Journalist of the Year.
Right. You know, it's funny. I thought about that. I was like, I should ask them for a landline. I was like the other day when my internet got a little wonky on the whatever, I was like, I wonder if I can just like pull a favor and be like, hey, you know how I kind of help you on those media days? Can I get a landline up here?
Can I run one Ethernet cable out here? Just one.
Right here to my spot.
Just one. Not to a router. not to anything that disseminates wireless.
Is that too much? I literally was just thinking about that today. Well, I was like, I wonder if I could ask that.
Okay, you know what's funny?
It certainly doesn't hurt to ask.
Well, you know what's funny?
They could easily say, no, it's not possible because of the way that that room's set up.
Cold coffee.
But I was like, you know, I think I'm going to ask.
But do you remember when we toured that facility while it was still being built?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's like cable runs all under the floor. There's cable because there's cable runs because that building.
Room.
If anybody doesn't, I mean, I'm sure it's been many years at this point, but so a lot of people might not remember that the UFC Apex was previously a big place called Scientific Games, which was a place where they built slot machines and video poker machines and that sort of thing. And when they bought the facility, as they were remodeling it, we got to tour it as they were building it. And I remember, because I'll never forget, because one of the first things that I did is walked in where the media room was going to be. And I'm like, look at all these Ethernet cables. This is amazing. We're going to have hard lines everywhere. And they were like, no, those aren't ours. Like, they're pulling those out. But that means the cable run is already there. So you know what? I mean, now this is some very inside baseball stuff, but a hard line would be incredibly nice there. And I think you should make a private request.
When people are like, you know, especially when people are like, oh, you know, sometimes the audio gets out of sync, sometimes it's buffering. I'm like, I'm just trying to provide a service to my viewers, you know. But I joked about that. I was laughing about that. I was like, I wonder if I've earned it to where I can ask for that. It was a solo day. But I did feel and thank you very much for listening and watching. But dude, it felt pretty good.
I thought you did a great job. It felt like
I got in a good little routine. And I have to credit the fighters as well because if a fighter is in a bad mood and if you're not getting anything, it easily could shut an interviewer down, and then you just feel like you're like whatever. But once we started getting going, I just felt like we was just like having conversations with dude, because at some point I could have got there, and I think I talked with you after a little bit, you know, about, you know, because I felt good after, and I was like, you know, at the end of the day, I'm grateful for what we get to do. Maybe if I was a little bit more beat down and we had like 12 interviews, and maybe if I felt like that was rough, I wouldn't have been so grateful. But afterwards, you know, you get through it. And then I was like, "Whoa, that felt really good." You get that sense of self accomplishment, yeah, yeah. But at the point when you get there, and I look around, I'm like, "Shit, there's nobody else here." You could either shut down and be like, "Well, I'm grumpy, I'm mad, I'm going to be whatever," or you just buck up and you just do your thing and then just work through it, you know. And I'm not a kind of guy that I spend days researching it. So that morning, like, I got up early and was like taking notes and did shit for maybe a few hours before. So I went in, I had some questions, you know, I knew I had at least a little bit of a form I was going to get through, but then it's just a matter of just listening, you know, and then following up and then making it a conversation. And the fighters, I got to give them credit too, because they were open and allowed me to do that, and then just had a good time. And then by the end, I was like, hey, today felt pretty good. You know, six is a good number. Six is a lot better than 12 interviews, you know, because then by the end of 12, my brain's fried. But it felt pretty good. But I there were some people that I don't remember really ever having, like, that in-depth of a conversation with, that I felt like I left with a sense of, like, I really like this fighter. Yep. I didn't know much about him before, but I was like, I really like this fighter now, you know. So, but yeah, it was good. I mean, it wasn't ideal, but at the end of the day, it's just another thing that you could say that you've done and that you've gotten through it. And then it makes me look forward to like New York, when I know there's going to be a bazillion media people. And then I'm like, bro, I'm just going to sit my ass and shoot and edit, you know. But this fight, it was good. You know, again, it's another Apex card, so everybody wants to shit on it regardless. But there's some really good fights and there's some good people. At the end of the day, we've said it before. You know, the fights, you never know what's going to be a great fight. But when you look at the fighters, usually, you know, they're going to go out there and they're going to give you effort. And we're always rewarded by it usually. When you look at this card, there's not a ton of, like, top-ranked fighters. You know, a lot of them, just looking at the Tapology rankings, I mean, it's just not there.
Right.
So you have fighters that want to talk and want to get their name out there and want to do whatever. And they're really happy that they're getting the chance. And some are like, dude, I've worked for this. I love this. I love every moment, even just getting to talk to you. And I wanted to joke, like, oh, you meant if, like, there was a real reporter here, you know. But they're like, I love this.
Journalist
I love that
of the
I'm
year.
Sitting here chatting with
Journalist
you, you know.
Journalist of the year, bro. So. Journalist of the year. That's all I'm saying. No, but no, I mean, honestly, like, obviously we joke, but I mean, man, you and I have been doing a podcast for over 10 years together now. And, like, honestly,
yeah.
your growth from just, like, a shooter to an actual interviewer, man. Like, I really did. I really enjoyed the discussion with Randy Brown. I really enjoyed the discussion with Matt Schnell as well.
I thought
Randy Brown
was good, too.
Yeah.
Schnell was good, too. I thought so.
I thought it was amazing.
Chris Padilla was probably one of my favorite ones. He was one that was like, I don't really know anything about this cat. But, dude, he brought such fun energy that I was just like, I'm really enjoying them. Then we went off on a tangent talking about pro wrestling, and he was chatting. And that's the shit where there's always some fucking troll on YouTube. He was talking about how he got into fighting, but his mom had him watching like professional wrestling when he was a kid. Then he just got really into it, and then he started doing whatever. So I started asking follow up about like his mom and like her, like, does she have a favorite fighter? Blah blah blah. Because he was loving, he was getting into it. There was one motherfucker who was like, MMA media asking about his mom's favorite wrestler. I was like, did you not listen to the fucking conversation? Like, the conversation skewed that way, and he was talking about how his mom got him into it, and then he had a great answer about it. And I was like, you just can't please everybody. But I remember thinking, like, it was like a fun interview. But yeah, a lot of the other guys, like you said, Randy Brown sometimes can be standoffish, and you don't know what you're going to get sometimes. Just depends on this mood. And because somebody can ask a question, and this can be any fighter, it's not just Randy Brown. Somebody can ask a question and then they just shut you down. And then the rest of the answers are like, whatever. But I thought everybody kind of got into a good flow. And, you know, if anything, I think just the hardest ones were, you know, obviously ones that goes through translation.
It's tougher. It's just tougher.
There's a buffer.
Yep.
You know, and that's on me. I need to learn Portuguese. Then maybe I can get in that flow with them or something. But even those I thought were decent, you know. But
no, I thought you did good.
I thought it was good.
And you know what I think too, and I think this is and I know it from experience, like I know it firsthand. A lot of the writers and a lot of the interviewers are going in there and they're thinking about what headline they need to get, what quote they need to get for their clickbait. And I shouldn't even say clickbait, that's wrong. I hate that word. But you know what I mean? Like they need their clicks, they need their clip. And I think that's probably what I did enjoy about it is I thought a lot of your flow was just kind of conversations. I mean, obviously you did bring up the scandal just so to get everybody's thoughts on it, but that's fair. That's the biggest topic, and so you want to get everybody's thoughts on it.
I mean, because I figured on that, and the reason on that, you know, because I could see where somebody would be like, oh, you were trying to get something clicky, you're trying to whatever. You could hear me talk about what I think about the allegation. You could ask what John Morgan thinks about allegation.
Right.
You could ask so-and-so about their allegations. But does that all even matter? You know, at the end of the day, how about we ask the fighters what they think?
Yep.
Do they think that there's an issue? Do they think there's a problem? At least they're a little bit more credible or held a lot closer to this than me.
Are.
And that's what my thinking was like, let me get their thoughts on it. We can talk about it where I know we're going to talk about it. And everybody else is going to talk about it. But has anybody asked a fighter what they think about it? You know, like, I'm not asking the fighter, has anybody approached you? I didn't want to, because even Dana made a point like, you know, hey, thank you, everybody that's starting to go on social media and say that you were approached, because now you're going to be approached by the FBI and you're going to start doing whatever. If that has happened and you want to talk, you should talk, you know. And there was something I was thinking about the other day that I was going to even throw out. I'll finish the point. That wasn't not why I was there. I wanted to get their thoughts on it, but I didn't want to start asking everybody. I'm not trying to get anybody to incriminate their things. I just want your thoughts on it because you're a lot closer to the situation than me is why I felt like it was important. And I felt if I didn't ask it, people would either shit on me for not even bringing it up.
Yep.
But I felt like I wanted to give them a platform to talk about it and then just sort of drop it or whatever. So the thing I was thinking about, you know, people tell you like, oh, well, if people haven't been approached or people don't do whatever. Oh, yada, yada, yada. I know a lot of media and people are reached out to and talked to by bookies and other people asking for information about a fighter's health and wealth.
Yep.
And I never even thought about the fact that some of these people could probably be getting paid by these bookies, either rewarded with gifts or monies. So if you're the type out there saying, oh, fighters, if you're being approached, you need to go say something. Hey, reporters, if you're being approached by a bookie asking you for tips, for money or whatever, you should be talking to people as well. Because if you don't, you're part of the problem as well.
Boy, that's a great point.
So I will put that out there.
That's a great point.
I know. That popped in my head the other day. I was like, holy shit, I never really thought about that. Because I hear people all the time saying like, oh, you know, some bookie was asking me about blah, 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 how so-and-so looks on fight week. I'm always just like, haven't watched the fucking video. But if you're at the point where you have connections with teams and you're all buddy-buddy, which is already like, you know, a razor's edge of what you should be handling yourself, which is why we've always, you know, we will always be cordial. If we friendships happen throughout the years, it is what it is. But I will never try to put myself into a camp. I will never put myself in a position to where I cannot step away and be like, sorry, whatever. So if you are one of these people that you are in close and now you're being approached by people asking about the dirt or the inside knowledge of a team and you are providing it, you, sir, are part of the problem. So think about that.
There's so much little gray area and little odd relationships. Yeah. So to act like, you know, oh my God, I can't
believe
this.
Act like, oh, it's
this.
Just the fighters. How dare the fighter do like whatever. Bro, if you're part of the problem where odds are switching and changing because some piece of information that you could have did, this is why these people are getting in trouble.
Yep.
Think about it.
Man, that's a great
and
point.
Maybe use that as a notion to stop doing that sort of thing. And especially if you're doing it for money. I'm the dumbass. If somebody reached out to me like, hey, what are your thoughts on a fight? I'll give you my thoughts, but I'm not giving like insider information. This is me telling my staff picks or whatever. But if you have knowledge that is not public information and you are using it for somebody's benefit, you're part of the problem, bro.
Yeah.
You're part of the problem.
So true.
So just so put true. That out there for, you know, I don't think. I mean, but that's for people that are close and tight or whatever. You know, most of our listeners are just hardcore tight with us. You know, I don't know if they're in fight camps with other these people, but that is something, you know, and nobody's talking about that sort of shit.
That's a good point.
You know, I heard some people say, you know, talk about other little stuff, but, you know, I guarantee a lot of these MMA media that are buddy-buddy with people, if they have close connections with bookies, those are people I would talk to and say, hey, make sure you're not doing these things. So.
Solid point. Well, listen, I thought you crushed on me today.
I appreciate that. It felt good. And that's the kind of thing that just goes forward. You know, we've had to do them before. And it's just the stuff that just you feel good that you know that you can do it. It's not that I'm saying, hey, I want them all to be like that. But, you know.
Journalist of the year.
Ariel, watch out.
I'm telling you. At least get this man a nomination. Get this man a nomination, bro. He's doing as much work as anybody out there. All right, listen. So I will not be at the UFC event because I fly. I was trying to get back, but the flights to get back in time were way too expensive. So I'm gonna have to watch it from the air. So I will not be there. But that is because Friday night CFFC 148, myself and Dean Thomas on the mic. So if you're hanging out on Friday night, you're looking for something to watch, tune into UFC Fight Pass. Prelims on OnlyFans at 7:15 p.m. Eastern. Main card, UFC Fight Pass, 9 p.m. Eastern. Anthony Garcia was back. The heavyweight champ is back. Had a rough go at Dana White's Contender Series. Has changed everything in the time since. Has really just revamped his training and his approach and his mental side and everything. He's facing Larry Gonzalez in the main event. Pair of undefeated welterweights in the co-main event, Ito Babalaidze against Kyle Hill. Ito fought a lot of his early career here at CFFC. He went
say on, that three times.
I'm telling
fast.
You, you just have to say it with confidence and pray that you're getting it right. That's it. But I can tell you.
Just make a choice and just run through
it. It's very easy. Repeat after me. Kyle Hill. Kyle Hill. No, I'm just saying that. No, obviously, Ito's name.
Ito Babalidze?
Yeah, Ito's a little bit tough name, but two undefeated welterweights. Ito fought for us at CFFC as an amateur and then his pro debut as well, and he went off to PFL, had a couple fights there, didn't get a long-term deal, so now he's back. But it's 5-0 versus 5-0 in the co-main event at welterweight. That's good. A couple of veterans at middleweight. Maxim Sergeyev is back against Shane Sadnoski. A couple of vets going at it. Sean Stant and Yorick Anderson. Yorick Anderson did miss weight today. Sean Stant took the fight anyway. A couple undefeated featherweights there. Bill Lewis and Cody Porter.
How far off was he?
He was 149, actually. So he was sitting out. I will say, he actually spoke to me directly and apologized. He did step in. Sean lost his opponent. York stepped in on a little bit less than 2 weeks' notice. So he was like,
yeah, it's tough.
He was like, listen, that's man. Tough. He's like, it's the first time. He was emphatic. He's like, this is the first time I've ever missed weight. I'm so sorry. he's like, it won't happen again, short notice. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, that's certainly – I mean, you got to give that some – definitely part of the fault right there. You know, it wasn't like the kid had a, you know, full fight camp to prepare
No. It was a little bit less than 2 weeks. So, you know, obviously we, you know, we always say making weight is job number one. He didn't. But again, short notice. But anyway, him and Sean Stantz are two undefeated guys there early in their career. Bill Lewis and Cody Porter looks like a fantastic one. Then Jose Rodriguez and Eamon Hardy at 165-pound bout, and that's a catchweight simply because it was also put together on short notice. So, anyway, great lineup. Dean Thomas with me. Looking forward to that. So that's your Friday night. Tune in with me and Dean Thomas Saturday.
That's a good pairing. Dean does a really good job over there.
Dean's awesome,
man. I've enjoyed those ones.
So blessed the people I get to work with, man. Obviously, really funny last week because the broadcast, the analyst desk last week at the USC event was Dean Thomas, Michael Chiesa, and Michelle Watterson, who were like my three co-hosts other than CM Punk. So it was my three co-hosts, and meanwhile CM Punk was winning the world title. So I was like, come on.
Yeah,
man.
How about that?
That was amazing, man. So I'm so blessed to
I didn't watch the match. I just saw the results. I was like, oh, that's crazy.
I was so happy. And did you see the images where he actually walked out with the monogram Duke? That was awesome.
Duke. Yeah. That's cool.
That was cool, man. So was so happy for him. Yeah. So awesome stuff, man. But I'm like I said, I'm just blessed with the people I get to work with, man. It's awesome. So anyway, I'll take care of you Friday night. Cole Coffee will take care of you Saturday night. And then we'll all get back together next week and talk all about it. So late here on the East Coast, Cole Coffee, I appreciate you sticking around. Appreciate everybody for the support as always. And we'll let everybody get off to it. But most importantly, thanks for listening.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.